Now, Unfollow Me is the fifth book from Enniskerry author Judith Cuff. The book touches on the cult of the influencer, the veneer of perfect lives, cancel culture, and the undeniable danger when the search for followers can ultimately, well, get you into trouble. Let's have a chat. Judith, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Declan.
Enjoying the weather?
Yes, loving it. It's very, very warm. Last night was insanely warm, but yeah, it's nice. It's a change for Ireland, definitely.
Yeah, does it... impact your writing? I mean, are you the type of person just locked yourself in a room and off
you go?
Yeah,
you know, I had to sit down yesterday morning, all the windows are open, air conditioning. I don't have air conditioning, but, you know.
This was improvised.
This is improvised and plenty of water. And yeah, it's great. It's lovely. It's a lovely change for us.
I hope you didn't have crone wood sort of stuff coming.
No, that's a bit away from us. Yeah, but frightening stuff there. Yeah, the pictures are horrible. Yeah,
indeed. Anyway, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in. Thank you so much. And we have your book here on Follow Me.
That's
and also do with influencers and social media and things. What's an influencer? Just to, I mean, we know what it is, but
yeah,
tell us what you're understanding.
Do you know, I think kind of the word influencer now has kind of been replaced with content creation. And it's people who are making a living out of being sponsored by various companies, brands, to showcase their products, I suppose. And I mean, it really is. It's a marketeer's dream come true. I used to work in marketing many years ago. And I mean, this is direct marketing at its finest, you know, where real people are testing and trialing products. The downside of it is that a lot of people seem to have a problem with these people, in that they're showing a side of life that is unattainable and that. So I wanted to kind of delve into that a little bit in this book, but also into the side of things that, you know, of people giving them such a hard time all the time. And they often don't deserve it. You know, a lot of the time, people who follow them, put them on a pedestal, expect them to be experts on everything, and they're not experts on everything. They're very normal people. And I suppose what they're showing is like a kind of a snapshot of life, like kind of a mood board for what life can be rather than what it is. But obviously some people can't read between the lines.
But is there resentment there to say, look at me, I'm in Ashford Castle here.
Exactly.
And I've got pink champagne,
you know,
and I'm getting it all for free, and you guys ain't getting it at all.
And I suppose, you know, a job is a job at the end of the day, and it turns into a job very quickly. But I just think that, they just get a really hard kind of, and especially for when I researched this book, I started to delve into some of these websites that are literally created and dedicated to tearing apart people. And I spoke to a few Irish influencers and then went onto these websites and saw what was written about them. And it's just horrible. I was just absolutely shocked. Like, I mean, tearing apart their personal appearance, their children, their husbands, everything, because, you know, they're perceived to be getting this hashtag free life. So I wanted to delve into that in the book and show that other side, the side of, you know,
humanity. And this is a job. Just to say, by the way, I don't know if Ashford Castle do this. I just use it as
Exactly, but it sounds lovely.
Because it sounds a lovely place.
I'd like that.
Yeah, you know, exactly. But I think there can be resentment. I mean, there's people who will resent everything.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, right?
Of course.
A cohort. But other people might be thinking, but hold on a second. There's no rules when it comes to influencing.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, say broadcasting, and I'm not ribbing on behalf of broadcasting, but it's just all the ad breaks have to be within the ad break.
Yes,
as such,
I
right?
know what you mean.
And, you know, if there's a problem with an ad, it goes to the standards in advertising or whatever it is. Whereas influencers can just put anything they like.
Yeah.
And the implication is that it's they're being bought because they're getting it for free.
And there is now, in recent years, it is definitely more regulated. Like, they have to call out if a product has been gifted to them, or if they're, you know, if it's an affiliate link, or however it works, or, you know, if they have a link to buy. This is all called out. And they are obviously really stringent about it, because unfortunately there are people watching just to take them down if they don't adhere to this. And you know what? It's a kind of a new profession, and I say hats off to them. Like, you know, if you can get lots of free products, holidays or whatever, and advertise them. And the nice thing about it is they are often real people. They're not only, you know, stick thin models. I mean, we complained years ago when it was only stick thin models represented on television ads and magazines. Now these are real people of all different shapes, sizes, nationalities. So, you know, it's definitely progress. I think it's moving in the right direction. But as you said, there will always be naysayers. I call them the watchers. They're the ones who are watching. They're not adding to social media themselves, yet they're on there scrutinizing and tearing people apart. So I just wanted to address that. But having said that, there is a whole other backstory as well, which is a little bit more thrilling. So it's not just about influencers. And I didn't want to shove those messages down people's throats. I wanted to kind of do it in a subtle way. And there is a story there, a backstory that this girl has a past.
Okay, well, tell us about Eve Kelly then.
Eve Kelly is an influencer. And actually, having said that, she actually was an ex-model. She falls into this life, and she's probably not a person who is very comfortable sharing her day-to-day life, but under the management of her former best friend Ronnie, she kind of encourages her to show more than she should be showing, and the risks that accompany that can obviously be great, especially if you have somebody watching in the background who may have a grudge against you or want to, you know, see your life fall apart. So the story starts when she's very much at a low ebb in her life. She's separated from her management team. She's trying to go things alone. She's moved to a very remote location. So you get the idea that something has happened and someone may have been trying to make her life a misery. So the book picks apart and we go all the way back to the 90s when she was growing up, when she was in UCD. And the reason I wanted to show that side of life as well was was a life prior to social media. Like, I grew up in the 90s. I was in UCD during that time as well. There was no such thing as social media. We barely had mobile phones. I remember somebody gifted me a mini call. Do you remember those pagers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this was the height of sophistication. Only you had to walk, like, you know, in nearly a half an hour to a payphone to pick up the message, which was probably just, hi, you know. So this was what we had. We were still of the age where, you know, you had to ring the parents and say, hello, can I speak to Mary, please, you know. So I wanted to delve into what life was like back then and how it has changed for even the book has teenagers now, and obviously how life has changed so much. So there's kind of a nice contrast between those two eras as well. And like, I have teenagers, so, you know, it's nice to see how they utilize social media. And I think, you know, there is a lot of criticism. People are afraid of social media. And I just think, by its name, it's supposed to be social. And I think if it's used that way, and if people are, you know, using it to be social, to stay in contact, I mean, it's great for families who have, you know, people living abroad or their family members living abroad, that kind of thing, to stay in contact. So I think it can be a positive addition to our lives if used right.
Yeah, but there is this danger, and you, I suppose, highlighted in the book, is that if something goes out into the World Wide Web, yeah, it can be there forever.
100%.
And people are often warned, especially young people, if they're looking for a job in 10 years' time or something.
Yeah,
and there could be something dug up.
Absolutely. And apparently, you know, interviewers do look at social media. They do look at the persons, because it's a very quick way to see what kind of life this person leads and what kind of life this person is if they are active on it. I heard my son started in first year this year, so he's going into second year, and his principal had a lovely analogy which I like to use all the time to my own children or to anyone, and that is, if you wouldn't tell your granny about it, don't put it on social media. You have to be prepared to stand behind what you put up there. You know, so it's kind of like a CV of your life, if you like. So just be very careful with what you show people, because it will follow you.
And Eve, was she a victim of this?
She definitely has a past. Well, as I said, social media wasn't around back then, but she definitely has a past. And there is, you know, showing her everyday life and how amazing, in inverted commas, it looks, is obviously rubbing certain people up the wrong way. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah. So it's kind of that contrast between no social media versus social media and the dangers.
Right.
Yeah.
And cancel culture.
Yes.
Explain that to people who hear the term.
But yeah. I mean, it's literally just one step wrong and you're gone. And, you know, people, we are all nowadays, I think everyone is very, very aware of what other people say and do. And we have the power to, you know, eradicate a person online. Just, you know, no, you're gone. And, you know, I share a little bit on social media. I don't have a huge following, but I have a very active following that, you know, I started sharing my writing journey when I started writing, very honestly, of the, you know, the hardships as well, the kind of, you know, the rejections, all that kind of stuff, and the successes. But even, you know, I'm afraid sometimes of things that I'm saying. I always have in the back of my mind, you know, to be to never offend anybody, and people are afraid of offending.
And
people.
Who's the mob, or is there a mob, or can a
I
mob
think there
be
is
made
a
up
mob? Yeah, like I said, there is these websites, and that's just in Ireland, especially dedicated to literally just tearing a person apart, and they carry weight because it gets shared and it gets makes it into WhatsApp groups, and you know, so we very quickly can take somebody out if that's what we want to do. And I just think people should be a little bit more forgiving as well. People are entitled to make a mistake. They're entitled to a past. What's important is what they're doing here and now. And if they're unintentionally offending someone, well, then that should be taken into consideration.
Right. So, did you have a mission with the book?
I don't know if I had a mission. I think I just wanted to call out that it should, you know, as I said, social media should be social. And I suppose highlight how we use it and what we use it for, and the positivities as well. I suppose if I did have a mission, it would be, I didn't want to write, there's a lot of books out there slagging off influencers and slagging off content creators. And, you know, I just didn't want to do that. I just thought, like, why not show the other side? Why not show the side of, it's actually, to me, it's the people who are sitting at home behind a keyboard saying nasty things. That's the real problem.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, it is actually, under fake names and fake pictures. I mean, to go to that extent to, you know, take someone down or insult somebody, you know, it takes a lot of work to set up a fake account and, you know, it's very strange. I just wanted to highlight that is actually the ridiculous part of social media, in my eyes.
There is the, what do they call it, trolling people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you can actually do something about it other than, you know, take it very legally and, you know.
And I think a few of the Irish influencers have kind of fought to get validated accounts online, you know, where you have to put in some sort of form of ID to create an account. I think that would definitely help, that you have to have a proper, like almost like a social media passport, I suppose, but that it's not, that it's a picture of you and it's a real name. And I think that would definitely help. You know, it's funny, unfortunately, we talk about these things an awful lot and we wait until something detrimental happens before a change is made. So it would be lovely. I would be all for that. Even, you know, with our kids, I often hear of people saying, oh my God, you know, my child, I figured they had five or six Snapchat accounts, you know, and you thought you were following them, keeping an eye on them, but they can create them at the drop of a hat, you know. So, strangely though, while we talk about children all the time and the concerns, there is just as many adults out there who are using social media incorrectly, you know, and that's doubly concerning.
You hear about football managers, you know, in GAA and all that sort of stuff, just getting trolled all the time.
Exactly, you know? And it's funny because it's never, you know, and the other thing I say is, like, you know, people say, I've had a lot of people say to me, but, you know, if you put yourself out there, if you throw yourself out there, you almost deserve the criticism. And to that I say, well, I wrote a book. Like, do I deserve to have somebody standing outside my house telling me I can't write and it's rubbish? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that is technically putting yourself out there.
There's been incidents in the history of Love Island as well.
Exactly, yeah. We're very invested in that at the moment as well at home. I'm not going to deny it. But, like, even watching it this year, and it's lovely to see my teenage kids saying, like, God, that behaviour is... Well, first of all, you know, for their behaviour, some of it is very strange. But they're in this really intense, fake, you know, scenario. And then immediately you see people logging on and having a go. And when I look at it, like, one of those girls is 19 years old. She's a child, you know, so it's frightening. Like, she's learning on the television, you know, how to act. And it's sad.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it later. But I just want to ask you one question. Is this a lament, you think, for interaction in society?
Sorry,
is your book a lament in a way?
No, I think it is. I think it's actually, in the end, it turns into a positive story of what it can do and how it can reach people and how it can bring groups of people together and how it should be used as a support system. So no, I think it kind of, you know, it really, it celebrates it. right. at the end of the day.
And it's a summer read as well, which is
that's the one.
Fantastic. Judith Cuff, thank you very much for dropping in.
Thank you
in.
For
the,
having
the
me.
Book is called Unfollow Me. And
if I could say, Declan, yeah. really quickly, I'm literally going down to Dubray Books right Ooh. Now on the main street. So if anyone is around, I would love them to pop in. I'll be signing copies and saying hello to people.
Very good. Thanks, Judith.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.